Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
That's right, Dr. Dobson. And friend, thanks to generous listeners like you, Family Talk can reach more and more listeners with practical help and encouragement. To support Family Talk with your best gift, go online to drjamesdobson.org or call 877-732-6825.
Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and today you're going to hear the conclusion of a conversation which began on yesterday's program dealing with the dangers of pornography. Filling in for Dr. Dobson in the studio today is Brian McNulty, Family Talk's Vice President of Broadcast and Media Services, and also Joe Warsack, Family Talk's Chief Operating Officer. Back with them for part two of this conversation is neurosurgeon Dr. Don Hilton and board-certified OBGYN Dr. Joe McElhaney. Now, today's discussion will revolve around why the objectification of women caused the Me Too movement and what parents or family members can do to rescue someone dealing with an addiction to pornography. As was the case with yesterday's program, the issues discussed in this broadcast are for mature audiences only, so parental discretion is definitely advised. Okay, let's pick up where Dr. Joe McElhaney talks about how he and Dr. Hilton got involved in this fight against pornography as we begin this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Well, there's an organization called the National Center on Sexual Exploitation that Don's on the board of, has been a key person as far as the science of that organization. And by the way, we highly recommend if somebody wants to delve into some of this science that we've been throwing out here that they make contact with that organization. But Dr. Hilton spoke at one of their national meetings last year, and a member of our board of directors, Boone, and his wife Peggy Powell were there and just talked about what profound information he was providing, as he's doing today with us. And so I called him. I'm from Plano, and one of our board members, Dr. Tom Fitch, who's here today, actually, and I met with Dr. Hilton, and he was so kind to give us time. I mean, he is, as he said, doing neurosurgery every day, but he's really committed to this. And so, Dr. Hilton, we just thank you for committing yourself to this in the middle of a busy practice.
Well, Joe, it's my honor to do it. You know, I think that we need to have an all-hands-on-deck approach, as certainly everyone here does. I had the opportunity, a wonderful opportunity last October, to be invited to the Vatican to a conference that the Vatican sponsored at the Gregorian Pontifical University on this subject, particularly on protecting children worldwide. They had the chief safety officers for Facebook and Microsoft. It was an academic conference of world leaders. I was very honored to be among them and to be asked to speak at the conference. And I spoke on how pornography affects the brains of young children, of adolescents, of developing people.
Do you think it affects them more than
if it hits
older people?
Yes, because it's an index event, because it's the first exposure of a powerful reward, and because it's early and it's a very neuroplastic developing brain, a very impressionable, templatable brain. Yes, absolutely. Any kind of learning will do that. Interestingly, we had a private audience with Pope Francis, who was very engaging, just a wonderful human being. And he told us in our private audience, he said, well, it's wonderful you're talking about helping children. He said, but we're seriously deluding ourselves. This is what he told our private group. He said, we're seriously deluding ourselves. If we think that we can protect children in a world where adults themselves use pornography.
And should we be surprised at all that we have a culture, this Me Too culture happening, where our boys and men treat women and our girls, these are our daughters, as sexual objects?
No, we should expect it. And there's no surprise at all. When the issues first started, a popular comedian, Louis C.K., came out and said, it became apparent that, I think admitted that pornography had scripted him in terms of the acts that he did with the women that he forced. And this isn't surprising. This is, of course, what we would expect with this type of templating activity.
So what do I do as a dad? I have a grown daughter. who will be dating young men. And the reality is these men have viewed pornography. I mean, to think otherwise is being naive. So how do I address it as a dad? How do I talk to this young man in the sense of recovery, if you will? How do we get them back on track? Can we deprogram that roadway, that pathway, and can we put the barrier back up?
I think that the question needs to be asked, and not just once, and not just in one way, and not in a threatening way.
Okay.
Honestly, it has to be a conversation. And if we can get to know the youth, the adolescents, the emerging adults that our children and grandchildren are with, and if we can have a conversation with them and say, you know, pornography is a difficult thing. I mean, it's pretty much everywhere. It's widespread. Everyone's exposed. We've all been exposed. What is your experience with pornography? And do it in more of a conversational way, then we're more likely to have them share with us where they are.
Yeah. And if I could be real, I mean, I don't know. I think we're all within a similar generation or so. When I grew up, there was a philosophy, you could look, but don't touch. I mean, that was the instruction I heard and I saw as a culture of a young man growing up. As long as I didn't touch or act upon it in a way to hurt them, there was no harm, no foul. We know that. That is just totally a lie.
Two problems with that, of course. One is that to produce the pornography, women are being hurt severely. And the Cornita Grusden study in the Journal of Urban Health documents and quantifies how these young, vulnerable, and exploited female performers, primarily, and males, but it's the females, are being exploited and harmed in the making of pornography. We worry about chickens, you know, okay, Tyson chickens, you guys didn't treat your workers right. We worry about sweatshops. There's blood diamonds in Africa, right? And so it's called fair trade certification. And so with pornography, I would submit that it's impossible to have fair trade certification because humans are being severely harmed in making the pornography. And so now we have primarily men, but increasingly women watching it. And as Robert Jensen said in Chris Hedge's book, Empire of Illusion, he said, what is this world we have where we have the majority of men watching these increasingly cruel acts of sexuality being played out upon women? And he said, and the majority of men like it. And that's the reality of our culture today.
That's very sobering. And this is a long-standing battle for Dr. Dobson. As some of you know, he interviewed Ted Bundy before his execution. Ted Bundy, the serial killer, who went down a fire trail, as Dr. Dobson refers to it. I want to talk about that because you just opened that for us. Not only are men watching this for pleasure and joy, they like it. They think it's good. Dr. Hilton, take us down the neuroscience and the fire trail, please.
Fascinating interview. I, of course, have seen it and read the transcript. And Ted Bundy's words describe an addiction very well. If you read what he says, I think very honestly, it was right before he died. I think he was very honest and descriptive in describing the compulsion that drove him. Now, what pro-porn proponents will say is, well, I'm not going to be a Ted Bundy. And it's true, most are not. And let's talk about that for a minute, though. So they'll say, so porn's not a problem. Number one, with the ubiquity of porn and the increasing aggressiveness, those who are nascent Ted Bundys, we will draw more of them out. So that will happen. In my opinion, we are seeing and will see more of this, at least a more Me Too type male that produces the Me Too situations. I think we'll all agree we're seeing more of them. So if we may not get to the level of Ted Bundy in terms of becoming a serial sexual killer, although I do think we'll have more of those, but the Me Too males that produce the Me Too situations, we are seeing more of those. And then, ironically, it's almost the ground level that's the saddest to me. Because, look, human sexuality, you know, Brian, it's such a, it's the highest form of connection between a man and a woman in a marital bond. And it's designed by God to bring us closer together and to produce some of the highest emotions we can experience in this life. What pornography does is robs people of the ability to feel that. And as one woman said about her husband, She said, as I realized what he was in this world, she actually looked up some of the sites and watched. She said, and I listened to him talk about this. She said, with swinging bluntness, she said, I realized that, her words were, a layer of empathy had been ground away. And I think that's so true. I think it may not be everyone becoming Ted Bundy. Sadly, though, it's most of the men that are watching it. By far, the vast majority of them are being stripped of their empathy, of their compassion, of their ability to love and to connect with other people. And isn't that what makes us human? One of my favorite Cicero quotes is when Cicero said, look, he said, if we don't have emotion, it's not the difference between a man and an animal, a beast, but between a man and a rock or the trunk of a tree or any inanimate object.
That's
and
right.
Cicero was right. We lose our humanity, not just our sexuality.
Is the Me Too movement long overdue? Is it the result of 30 years of growing porn and societal degradation?
It is. It's without being graphic, you know, you have men that would, to be great, self-stimulate themselves in front of a woman and expect the woman to find that pleasurable. And it's like everyone looks at this and goes, what were they thinking? Well, the porn scripts of today, with people like Anna Bridges and Chen Sun at NYU and others who have actually studied the porn scripts, this is typical. These men are acting out the exact acts that they've seen in the porn scripts because they think that's normal. They think that's good.
Could I just throw out a contrast? You know, we haven't specifically described what your kids are seeing, and I think that people that listen to this need to be aware of how really degraded it is and how evil it is. It's like people having sex with animals, people having sex with every opening that's available in a human being, feces and urine going from one person all over another. It's really evil stuff. And I was just thinking, I've been married 57 years to my wife. Sex has been a part of our lives up until about 3 years ago. She has Alzheimer's. But it wasn't the core of our lives. It was a part of what, as Don was saying, was helped us connect together. Right. And in this stream of our lives, we've grown closer and closer together. We mean more and more to each other, and sex is a part of that, but it's not the core of it. But it's a really nice part of it. And now that Marion is where she doesn't move and she doesn't talk, I just love being with her. And that's a part of what we built into our relationship, and that's in such contrast to this evil stuff that kids today are thinking is what sex is.
It is the relationship in some sense. The relationship, and this is true, for these children growing up at this point with the sexting that's happening through the text messages and such and every other channel they can get on and page they hit, whether it's social media or a website, the relationship between the opposite sex is being defined by sex.
Well, and also we were talking earlier about the fact that it's more than just degrading women and guys just having this idea that that's what sex is in marriage when they do get married. It's also they're more likely to be depressed if they've been involved in pornography. Ultimately, their marriages are more likely to break up. They're more likely as kids to sext, which means, for those that don't know, taking pictures of the portions of their body nude and then sending that on an email to someone else, which is becoming very, very, 40% say they've received these nude messages on their iPhones. So it gets into almost every aspect of what we are as human beings.
Just a quick question. So for the moms out there that have sons, this is a tough topic, but a lot of our audience out there are moms listening right now that may be realizing for the first time their 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old has viewed pornography. It's more likely they have that than they have not. What do you say to that mom out there?
Education, inform yourself as to what is happening. Communication, Fight the New Drug is an excellent resource for adolescent and for college age emerging adults.
What's Fight the New Drug?
It's a national organization that addresses that age group. It's a website, Fight the New Drug. Google Fight the New Drug. Go to the website. There's videos, there's resources. It's a fantastic organization. that is doing much for this age group to understand that pornography kills intimacy. As Joe was saying, this marvelous experience of growing old with someone, and then at the end of our life, someone cares. I, as a physician, sometimes have someone from a nursing home will come in with a brain hemorrhage, and it's obvious that their life is about to be over, and there's no family. Mm-hmm. And there's no next of kin. I can't even find anyone. And so I have to decide when it's time to let them go. And there's no one to talk to about that because no one cares. And I think this generation that's living in this hookup culture, which is driven, of course, by pornography, sadly will find that that may be their experience if they don't learn to love and connect with other humans.
Yeah, bring it back to when you talk about it, Dr. Joe, think about our kids. And I know Dr. Dobson has spoken for generations about this. One of the best gifts as a parent I can give my children is how I love my wife.
That's right.
How have you seen that in your practice and the marriages you've worked with over the years? How real is that?
Oh, it's absolutely critical. Let me just say this, since I already mentioned something personal. My wife, for years, has said, Joe, I really appreciate your eyes not wandering off to other women. And I don't think I really quite understood that until this pornography thing came up. And I realized that I guess, must be something that women really notice, that guys' eyes are wandering. And good gracious, if guys are looking at stuff on porn, it just destroys that trust that women can have and want to have for their husband, and vice versa. As you know, about 30% of people addicted to porn are women.
Let me make a comment. Yeah. I pulled this from our Facebook page. This is one of our followers on Facebook on the topic of pornography. Two comments from women. The feelings of betrayal and loss of trust in the marriage due to porn use is truly the same as infidelity. This is a wife talking. The pain and destruction of a woman's self-esteem are felt as deeply as if there were an actual physical affair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that what you've seen?
Yes. Matter of fact, there was a time in my medical practice. See, even back then, when I was really actively involved in my medical practice in Austin, women very often didn't have a pastor, priest, rabbi, or anybody to talk to. And they'd talk to their gynecologist because it's such a personal relationship. And there was a time when I really got angry at men in general for what these ladies were telling me their guys were doing to them, off having affairs and coming back into the marriage. You're not married and having affairs. And then demanding things from them that they didn't want to give. And so, you know, and it's not gotten any better. And I think this is, we had breakfast this morning, Dr. Hilton and I said this, as he said earlier, this is probably the biggest problem we face in America today, because it's destroying everything that's human about us. Yeah. And I think when you say, well, what advice do we have for parents? I think the very first one is to take it seriously, to realize it really is a problem.
So guys, obviously, this has been fascinating. For 2 days, we've discussed the ravages of pornography on our children and on our marriages and on our culture. And if Dr. Dobson were here, he'd say, absolutely, pornography kills intimacy. But we're hearing some hope in both of your testimonies. You've talked about true love and a godly monogamous marriage. So tell us in these final minutes what we can do as husbands, wives, moms, dads, and what we can do to deal with this in a holistic way to make it better as a Christian family, because that's what we want to do here at Family Talk.
Well, first, take the threat seriously. Second, parents, you must model for your kids what's right. Then if they get exposed at a young age, it really hurts them probably more in the future. And you have control of those iPhones when they're young. Control the iPhone. Be sure they know that you're going to look through their iPhone to see what they've been looking at. So take control. And then I think spiritually it's really important that you help them grow spiritually, because this is not something that people committed to the Lord are going to do. So then also access all the available help that they can get. And sometimes you need expert help. And Don, I think you are aware of a bunch of different groups that can be helpful with that.
Yes. I think, first of all, in educating ourselves, let's say we have a loved one who is addicted to pornography, who is struggling with this. Education. Patrick Carnes has written a lot of good material on understanding sexual addiction and recovery. getting help for our loved one with a Christian counselor, a counselor that is professionally trained and that understands sexual addiction, a CSAT or other group such counselor, and that has the perspectives and beliefs that we agree with as well. That's important to understand that and for our audience here.
And just to pivot off of the spiritual aspect of this, I mean, so many verses speak to this as a parent to our children. I think especially Colossians 3:2, to set your minds on things above. Mm-hmm. I think of Philippians 4:8, to be thinking about those things which are what? Noble, pure. Mm-hmm. And this is what I've said to my kids as I commit to them before God. What's wrong before God is wrong before us. It doesn't change when you're 8 or when you're 80. Mm-hmm. So what you said, I totally agree with Dr. Joe, that we set and we model before our children, they will follow the path I walk.
Every study shows that parents influence kids' behavior more than anything else in life.
So dads and moms out there, you heard it. I mean, we've heard this today. We are, in essence, our life is defining the path for our children. And right now, if you look at the studies out there, there is destruction. But as Brian said, there is great hope and a foundation in Jesus Christ and looking to that mutual accountability that we hold each other before God. Right, gentlemen?
Right. Yeah. So true. And we can't have fear. My wife says this all the time. You know, John told us that. Remember, he said that perfect love casteth out fear. And if we just are afraid of this, then we will cower before it. We have to learn about it, educate ourselves, and communicate and love those that we work with. My favorite scripture on helping struggling souls with addictive behaviors is from 2 Timothy. I think it's 2:24-26. But he basically said, "And the servant of the Lord." And I take that as anyone that's trying to help a loved one that's struggling must not strive, which means argue, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, which is what this is. He said, "Peradventure, God will give them grace through repentance." So there's that grace, and then he says something else, and that they may recover themselves from the snare of the devil, which is addiction. So he talks about this process of grace, and then he talks about this recovery process like an alcoholic would seek, 12-step, Alcoholics Anonymous, a therapist, a counselor, that work of recovery to get over this brain part to do what we need to do to gain that kind of physical healing. I love Paul's perspective on that one.
No, that's great. And the more our children can truly see themselves in the image of God as image bearers of the God who made them, the more they're going to walk in that light. And Lord willing, when darkness comes their way, you know, they will shed light upon it.
This is great stuff. Thank you both for being here. Dr. Joe McElhaney, Dr. Donald Hilton, Joe Warsack. You've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Continue the conversation on Facebook. Join us on our website, drjamesdobson.org. You can reach out to both of these gentlemen. There will be resources there and an opportunity to engage and find deeper solution as we work to build the kingdom together.
Thanks again, gentlemen. I know we've just kind of scratched the surface, and there's so much more. So I encourage our listeners to click on the links, visit the websites, and get engaged in this topic with your kids. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
Well, we certainly pray that the conversations that you've heard over the past couple of days have opened your eyes to the horrors and the threats of pornography. Is there someone in your life that's struggling with pornography right now, or perhaps are you yourself wrestling with this addiction? If so, we encourage you to call our friends at the American Association of Christian Counselors. Their toll-free number is 800-526-8673. Now, when you call, you'll be connected to a Christian counselor who can help you or that loved one in your family fight back against the entanglements of pornography. Again, that number is 800-526-8673. You can also find them online at aacc.net to find a counselor near you or to read through any of the helpful materials that they have on this and a great deal of other topics. Again, that's aacc.net. If you want to hear more from Dr. Don Hilton and Dr. Joe McElhaney on this important topic, go to today's broadcast at drjamesdobson.org, and you can listen to exclusive web extra content that did not make its way onto the broadcast. You can also find out more about each of our guests' organizations. That's on our website as well. Hurry over to drjamesdobson.org and then click onto today's broadcast page. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening to today's program. Be sure to join us again tomorrow to hear from comedian and author Dr. Dennis Swanberg on the topic of loving your spouse on an emotional level. That's coming up next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Hey, right now, grab your cell phone, go to your app store, and click on the Dr. James Dobson Family Talk app. Download it right now, and you can start listening anywhere at any time. 24/7, 365.